Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you. your bomb Wednesday service. I am Naima Cochran, your better known as your senior pastor of Music Sermon, and with me pouring his libations for the evening is my director of Helps Ministry. I got it right this time. My director of Helps Ministry, Mr. Karin Phillips, and also with Karin are his arms, joining us again for another week. Good evening, Karin. You got to get the body and the aroma and all this that good is, stuff going.
My communion wine, because we got to watch this debate tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We are filming this while debate is about to kick off, and I'm gonna need it. For what's about to happen tonight?
I know, I'm stressed out. This is one. I think this is an opportune moment to say, don't let Joe Biden distract you from the fact that you're gonna vote for Joe Biden.
I have my voting plan together, and I'm going early voting later this week.
Yes, I have mine. I also just got approved to be a poll worker, so I'm excited about that.
Get your booty to the poll.
Get your booty to the poll. If y'all have not seen the Get Your Booty to the Poll campaign, please plug that hashtag into your browser and get your life.
So we need you to get your booty to the poll.
Yes.
And if you have $55,000... You help Uncle Clifford save the paint. So, you know, all the night.
We both at the same time.
Saving the paint.
No, I really do appreciate the Get the Booty to Your Poll campaign. Not just because of the originality of it. And I think I heard a couple of those women, or at least one of them is actually from Magic City. No, because it's not, believe it or not, it's not... P. Valley related. It was done by somebody in Atlanta. So I think at least one of the
That's where they shoot, P. Valley. Yeah. So
at least one of the girls I heard is from Magic City. But I like the fact that the messaging is a reminder that I think people don't say enough. One, if our voting really wasn't important as people think, and if it really was just about, even though the Electoral College is bullshit, but if our voting really wasn't important, the GOP wouldn't go through such great lengths to prevent us from being able to vote. That's one. Two, that the presidential race isn't the only thing on the ballot. DAs are elected, school boards are elected, attorney generals are elected, sheriffs are elected. And I think we don't talk enough about local elections. So I very much appreciated the messaging and the efficiency
Location. And when I say location, I mean, if it was shot in Atlanta, as someone who covered the Georgia gubernatorial race in 2018 with Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp, listen, I was there for all of it.
You were getting your booty to the bone?
It is the greatest representation of voter suppression.
Oh, yeah.
In the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
The fact that it was blatant, like, it was a conflict of interest for Brian Kemp. Like, how are you running for governor and you oversee the gubernatorial race at the same time?
But him being that is just like the smallest of things he did.
Of course.
But yes, get your booty to the poll. Vote early.
Get your booty to the poll.
Don't send in absentee ballots.
Yeah.
Don't mail. Get your booty to the poll.
So for those who are in New York, our early voting starts October. We're late on early voting. Our early voting starts October 24th. Don't quote me on that.
Illinois starts October 1st.
Okay. I wish our start October 1st. That would be so much easier. But we didn't always have early voting periods. So I'm just happy we have that. Because New York is a place where you can easily live. You can easily work an hour by transit from where you live, if not more. And if we're not getting election days as holidays, that always definitely hindered some people from the ease and being able to go to the polls. So before we get on too much further into it, because we do have a heavy month ahead, Karin and I are going to be kind of switching up what we talk about here. We want to keep it light and kind of more personally topical when we can, because the times that we are going to have to get into, you know, politics and justice, socioeconomics, there's bound to be some more heavy moments again. So y'all are going to get a little bit of
that's a nice
of
way of
us.
Saying that the bullshit is on the way.
On the way. Get your house in order. Because it's coming.
Paint your door frames with the blood.
All that. Call on them.
It's about to get Old Testament.
Yeah, ooh, man, listen. If you are a praying person, I suggest you get to praying. But the crazy shit is that they praying at the same time the other side is. All right. So a little bit of housekeeping.
The white Jesus, though. We playing the black Jesus. The real Jesus. Because Jesus was and is and still is black. So
this is true. We're not going to have the conversation today, but this is true.
It's in the book.
It is in the book. A lot of people don't really pay attention to what the Bible says, except in certain very limited circumstances. But before we get in too deep, I do want to remind y'all that while you are here enjoying this time of fellowship with myself and Karin, and we do appreciate you, Count the Dings and Bomb do offer a wide array of programming for whatever you may need or be interested in or be entertained by. So in simplest terms, there's Count the Dings overall and then there's Bomb. So the Bomb is the black stuff. Y'all probably already know that, right? It started with the OG.
We're the only people to say fellowship. Nobody else says fellowship but us.
I'm fine with that. It's in the Methodist hymnal, though. I think most people mean it in terms of the church.
It's in the book.
The word fellowship is in the hymn. What is it? Something the tides that bind.
Go to the fellowship hall.
Let's be church. The tides that bind. I think that's it. I gotta look that up. That's what we used to have to. But anyway, you got me distracted, Karin.
Count the dings.
So Count the Dings and Bomb. So the Bomb stuff is the black stuff. I'm just going to put it like that because it does stand for Black Opinions Matter, right? So we actually now have a full week of programming. We got Crazy Sexy Cool on Mondays with the ladies. We got the OG Bomb feed with the guys and various arrays of guests on Tuesdays. You got us on Wednesdays. You got Woke Bros with Wise on Thursdays. He's going to continue to give you all the stuff that you actually need to give some thought and insight to while we may be over here vacillating between the two. And you got Trey and Growing Up the Same on Fridays. That's your whole week. What you need. Look at that. We got you. And if that's not enough, you got, like, more stuff. You got the Dad Pod. You have Cinephiles. You have the Mailbag. There's way more on Count the Dings. So you can look for either of those anywhere you listen to your pods. You can find us on YouTube because Karin has his arms out. And when Karin doesn't have his arms out, I have my shoulder out. And sometimes we do both. You know what? And sometimes we do both at the same time. So it behooves you to actually watch on YouTube because Rob is so generous with his time as to edit that together. Shout out to Rob. And of course, if that's not enough, and if you have some change that you have not already donated to Kamala or to your local voting efforts, you can become... You can become a patron. Jesus. Of Count the Dings, patreon.com, Count the Dings for exclusive content. And also, Karin and I are very friendly online. You can feel free to talk to us. We talk back. I'm at Naima, N-A-I-M-A. He is at, what are you, something, J. Phillips? I'll listen.
At Karin J. Phillips. Don't talk crazy, because I will get in your ass.
I think he might. Aren't you private? You're not private anymore. Okay. No. So, all that stuff.
I freely block, though.
Okay. So not right before we started taping, but within the last couple of hours, I DM Karin because there is a story.
Naima DM'd me like she ain't got my number.
I was sending you a tweet. It was easier because I was on the timeline to just send you. That was out of ease of functionality. There is a story that may still be unfolding right now. I will take a look.
I just got excited. I don't get DMs from women, so you know what? My DMs are open.
Karin would like you. So let me repeat. Karin's DMs are open. There's a story that may be unfolding right now of a young lady who apparently, this is just based on what I do know, I guess was talking to, you know how there are like these group chats now where
stuck in Houston.
You get invited to them by people, and you may not know because I didn't know until a friend of mine was in them. They're like regional area group chats, people who don't necessarily know each other in there and connect. It's like social clubs, except it's on like WhatsApp or GroupMe or whatever.
I don't respond to family group texts, so I'm definitely not doing this.
So I guess she had met this guy in there. They've been talking. he asked him to come visit her. He's in Houston. She tweeted,
a city where they wilding at and the clubs is open.
Everything is open.
Nobody's wearing a mask.
So she tweeted a few hours ago, LOL, this dude flew me out 1,500 miles just to block me and leave me at the airport. But then
plot twist.
She followed up to that to say, okay, yeah, so actually I paid for my flight out. The agreement was he was going to pay for all my stuff when I got here and cover my flight back. So my good friend, I'm not going to say his name because maybe not want me to, but one of my good attorney friends on the timeline said, point of clarification, if you bought your own ticket, you were not
flewed out.
You just flew. Somebody else said, so she flew herself out, which I corrected. She played herself out. So I want to say to y'all right now.
Well, here's the thing, though. I, as a grown man, flew someone out a couple months back. The Southwest had this beautiful deal, and it was $94 round trip.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why, of all the details we're going to get into, why this was on top of this being a dumb decision, and she exposed herself publicly.
Like, why would you do that? It shouldn't
have hurt that bad, because I just got an email the other day from Southwest of them having another sale. So
it
shouldn't cost that much, Shawty.
Yeah, she never said how much it cost. She said how many. I actually thought she said $1,500 ticket, and then I realized she said 1,500 miles. But she hasn't said, she hasn't said where she was coming from or how much it cost or anything like that. I think she thought she was going to maybe put him on blast, because she then went on to post some. Okay, so here's the thing. So there's a couple things. I'm bringing this up because I want to get into, like, if you're going to date long distance, especially in this, this digital era, you know, you meet people, you socialize, you may have already know everybody in your area, everybody may be trash in your area, you know, you want to expand your boundaries.
Or you could
be trash and everybody in your area knows that. There's nothing wrong with this. And there's also nothing wrong, women, with opting to go visit someone that you trust, right? If you want to do that. But there's some rules to this shit, right? So the first thing is, she posted what would be screen caps to prove that they've been talking. The thing is, he had not been texting her. He had only been using the audio option in text. I'm thinking he's just lazy, because niggas don't like the text. They be texting WD and two-word responses and whatever. But my little gin homie hit me and was like, and you see, he was using audio so that she can't screen cap him. And I was like,
didn't even think about it.
Did not! Never even occurred to me. That's actually really smart.
But here's the twist to that. You still messed up in the game, because with those, you can save. And if you have another device, if you play it on speaker and record it,
you still have it saved.
Your files up.
True.
What's more damaging, a screen grab or an audio file?
But in the short term, if she's just trying to, you know, but also, you know, everybody ain't that bright. But anyway, so she hasn't really proven anything except that he blocked her ass from all platforms and left whatever group chat they was in. That's the only thing she's proven. So, okay, rule number one. If you don't know this for real,
or woman,
or know people in common between the two of y'all, or
like
if they don't live in a city where you have family and or friends and or know your way around,
if you don't know the airport code.
Right. Do not carry yourself out there for a first visit. Meet in a mutually neutral place where, like, she's in Houston. So, like, I could actually do a weekend in Houston even if somebody bugged out. Except for right now, because it's Corona. Except for Houston. Corona.
Not in Houston. Dang.
Really? Dang.
Corona don't exist in Houston.
That's what I'm saying. except now, because it's Corona. So, I mean, for my protection. Because I didn't understand why Shorty wasn't tweeting from Papado's already. Like, I wasn't really. I literally tweeted, like, somebody go get Shorty and take it to Papado's.
Right. Get that fondue.
I would have been drunk already. Secondly, so, okay, that's one thing.
She could have found love at happy hour.
Don't take yourself to unfamiliar territory where if he wilds out or if he had to work all day or anything, you just stuck.
Where he gonna go?
Looking up for walls.
He can't go. He can't go.
I don't know. She asked, one of the things she asked to a message he didn't respond to yesterday because he was already planning on ghosting her ass was whether he had to work at any time. So he'd be, who knows? He could be an essential worker. I'm just saying, just in general, Corona or not, this is a rule of thumb. The second is don't ever, 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 never, ever.
Third.
Okay. Whatever it is. Don't ever let somebody tell you, don't ever let somebody put you in a position where you assume all the risk, right? Meaning, in her case, not only is she leaving her home to fly to him, she has had to spend money up front with no guarantee return on his end. Like, first of all, I personally am not going anywhere without knowing when and how I'm coming home. That's
she didn't,
it.
Have, she didn't have a flight confirmation. She didn't have an itinerary.
And you can't just tell me when you get here, I'll get your ticket back. Like, this it ain't a bus. It's a plane. Like, who does that? Except for people with disreputable sources of income. Or who don't have credit cards. So
can you still buy plane tickets if you don't have a card? Remember back in the day, you could.
You could, but you would, like, back in the day, you could if you went to, like, a travel agency. Oh, no, you could make a reservation and pay at the counter.
Really?
There was a time where you could make a reservation, pay at the counter. There was also a time when it would not, like, kill you to pay for a plane ticket on site. So, like, all those movies you see where people are like, I need a plane ticket going to. You could also.
I remember the 80s.
Yeah. You could also. Me and my sister did this in 93. I had flown up here. I was driving back with my grandfather and I left my sister my return ticket so she could come visit me in South Carolina and she was able to just get it changed into her name.
You ain't do that now.
Definitely can't do that shit now. Shit, I might not be able to get my own name changed if they spell something wrong. So anyway, yeah, so I'm concerned about the fact that, and her thing was he said he would take care of everything while she was there, pay for her to come back, but you have no proof. Like, you have proof, you have no confirmation number. He has absolutely no, he's made no effort for his part of the visit, is my point. And when a dude makes no effort.
Allegedly.
I mean, she got stuck, so he definitely didn't make an effort.
Do we know if she got stuck? Do we know if that's his offer? Because we don't have screenshots. We only have screenshots of voice note. I'm not saying he didn't do this. But I'm
okay,
also
allegedly,
saying in 2020.
We need to be readable journalists. Okay,
yeah,
so.
This is, we don't know if this is actually real or she just went crazy and she just flew up there and on her own was like, ha ha, I'm here. And he was like, block, I don't know you.
But I also feel like
because
I've
that
seen.
Is highly possible.
But I also feel like I've seen more than one of these type of stories on the timeline. What are your rules of travel, Karin?
Ooh, oh, man. I don't do that often. I think I've only flew out to people in my whole life. So, they had years in into my life and knowing them. But I think we should get better rules of like long distance. If you do anything long distance
dating. That's what I mean. Not flying outness per se.
It is.
But long distance dating. Because I also do believe that like, unless you're really, okay, so perfect example. One time I was flew out, whatever.
Mm.
But the guy would actually have rather come to New York, but he was a doctor and he couldn't because of his schedule.
Stunt. Why are you trying to stunt?
No, that literally is what it is. He was a doctor and he couldn't because of his schedule.
What kind of doctor was he now?
He was an anesthesiologist. He's like the minimum doctor. That's like the minimum level of doctor.
Sleep. Okay.
Like he even told me that like he became an anesthesiologist because it's the one that requires the least amount of time. But I say all that to say his schedule.
Don't sleep on sleepy boo. Okay.
His hospital schedule would not allow. So because of that, and because he lived somewhere that was not a major city, He was like, I will fly you out. That was the offer, because it was an offer that didn't it benefited him, not me. Because me coming to him benefited him, not me.
A week. Oh, did you get off the plane cute?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. Cute-ish, but it was like, it was all the way on West Coast-ish.
A 6-hour flight.
That's why I stayed for a week. I wasn't going to do that travel weekend. Anyway, I say all that to say, but this is, but like, we had known each other for a minute, but I say all that to say that that was the condition in which I was fine with accepting somebody's offer to pay for me. Otherwise, I'm good on that first trip, like booking my own travel. I don't really, I feel like the flying out thing, I just feel like I want to be in control of my own situation as I'm moving around. And what you should never, ever, ever, ever do is get somewhere and be totally dependent on whomever you're with for food or money or anything. Because that's, you're setting yourself up for
disaster.
Yes, indeed. So that, but that goes for long distance too. Like, I am okay. I know some people were like, well, I'm not going out to see him until he comes to see me. I'm actually fine with going to see the dude because I'm always very curious to see how a man lives. How they are in your house doesn't really tell you what you need to know. How they are in their house and what their house looks like and how he keeps his house. That tells you what you need to know.
Inspired loft. Come on through. Come on through.
So your...
My rules? Like, I do. At this age especially, I tip my hat to couples that can do long distance. I can't. There was a run from 2010 to 2017 in different relationships because I was moving around for grad school and different jobs and internships to where I was living in very undesirable places like Syracuse, New York, and Salt Lake City, and Michigan City, Indiana, and Delaware, to where, listen, it was slim pickings. And, you know, it was either flew in your own entertainment for a weekend or a week, or you was just vibing with people who weren't in your area. But I can't do it no more. I decided when I moved to Atlanta in 2017, like, I was done with long distance just because all of the variables that come with it, I just was over it. My expiration date was up, so much so that I was in a relationship a little over a year ago, and all I knew was long distance relationships, and she had been in some long distance situations to where we lived on the other side of town. We also, this was like the first time we were actually in a relationship in the same city. And it was, you could tell that, like, we didn't really know how to do that because we didn't know what that was. I was like, it had been like 7 years since I lived in the same city with my girlfriend. Like, I didn't know how many days to see you.
Right.
How many nights are we spending sleeping together? Like, what's the weekend rotation like? And, like, we had a groove of routine, but I didn't really figure out till, like, after relation was over. And I was just like, we really didn't, like, kick it. That much, because I didn't know what to do.
Right.
Because I was just like, I'm not used to someone being around, or I miss you today, I'm just about to pull up.
Right.
Because that wasn't an option for so long. And I was so set in my ways of things I have to do on this day, these are my open days, I can see you, that it wasn't just get in the car, driving 15 minutes. It never crossed my mind sometimes. Now, I know it sounds stupid, but if you've been conditioned that way for so long.
No, I completely understand it. As a matter of fact, I understand that intimately because I realized that I was using business relationships as a crutch because I actually don't like having people in my space. I didn't have to. I used to say, like, oh, it's like it's an adventure. You never know. Blah, blah, blah. But I realized that it was actually more convenient for me because I didn't have to worry about, like, whether or not I really wanted to be bothered on certain days. That's the only child shit, too.
It's not even that. I just think as you get older, like, I was having this conversation a week ago. And I was like, if I get married and we get a home, I was like, we need 3 bedrooms.
Oh, yeah, I need my own room.
I was like, I need my own room. You need your own room. And we need our own room. Because I was like, a couple nights out this week, I need to sleep by myself so I can spread out and actually go to sleep without you being all up on me and I'm pent up on the corner because that's how black women sleep, y'all though. We be tired in the morning.
No, I'm not opposite. I don't want, I'm a very light sleeper and black men snore. So
I would know, but I need my own bathroom because I can't.
So the one time I did live with someone, the reason that it did even work as long as it did was because of that. We had a 3-bedroom, so like one bedroom was the office, and one bedroom was basically my room. It was like a bunch of my furniture from my old bedroom in my apartment. So I got up in the morning. Our schedules were different because he worked from home. I got up before him in the morning, but I went into my bedroom, which was the guest bedroom. That's where all my clothes were. That was my closet, hair curler. Like, it basically was. It was my whole bedroom, except I didn't sleep in there. And I spent my whole morning routine watching the news, doing whatever, doing my hair, doing everything in my bedroom. And when I needed to retreat, I went to my bedroom. That was my DVR. You know, like, all of that. So, That was convenient. And that's what I need. And that's what I saw actually modeled growing up. So I've always just considered it normal. My grandparents lived in 2 different states at one point. And people used to be like, are your grandparents divorced? And I was like, why do people keep asking me that? Like, I didn't even understand why people were asking me if my grandparents were divorced because they lived in 2 different, because my grandfather was still up here. And my grandmother, she retired, was like, I'm going back to South Carolina because I need my garden. I'm trying to chill. And my grandpa was like, all right, but he used to come back and forth all the time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so long distance. The thing about long distance that I think is key, or that I know is tricky, because this has been why I've had to reconsider it moving forward, is like there gets to a point where one of y'all gonna have to move, or
ooh, yeah, get new jobs.
Something like
new healthcare professionals.
And a lot of times y'all don't even talk about that until
a new dry cleaner.
New hat. Like, so who gives up?
New barber, to go to who? New gym, new happy hour spot. Look,
it's a lot. Depending, it's a lot. So, all that is to say, I do hope sis, because I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do hope sis finds her way back home. I wish her Godspeed.
Or, like we said, go to Bob Dole's.
She should really go to Papa
Do's. $32, you got it.
She really should go to Papa Do's. I'm hungry, actually.
I might go this weekend while we're talking about
it. I'm so mad we don't have one in New York.
I might go this weekend.
I'm really upset that we don't have one in New York. Okay, moving along. You, Karen, want to talk about, we actually had this on tap to address for a while. And I think we did give a quick shout out 1 week.
We did, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for like the black women creatives that are telling stories on television right now, which I really do not think there's ever been this many. Not just black women, show creators, but also showrunners. Yes. It shows in the excellence and the diversity of the storytelling, I think, because these are all very different properties. But you've actually made the list. Do you have your notes in front of you?
I don't have the list on me. I sent it to you. I don't know where I put the list.
You ain't shit. Then let's talk about Misha Green, Lovecraft Country.
But I remember the list. At this moment we have right now.
Yes.
Series that are black and or feature black women. And
I got them. Okay.
It was on HBO. Go down
to HBO. So, the Black Lady Sketch Show. Is that coming back for another season?
I heard, but that show is terrible. But we did. Hey, shout out to y'all.
I never watched it. Shout out to them.
But all of my faves are on there, though. Yeah. All of my faves are on there.
Euphoria, which, by the way, Euphoria will stress you the absolute fuck out. So, people who have anxiety... But it's amazing. Yeah. But you would be so... Yo, that show used to give me so much anxiety. But it's really amazing.
Shout out to Zendaya. Congrats on the win.
Shout out to Zendaya on her Emmy win, which...
Nobody was close to you.
Which the white people kept calling an upset. Like, it wasn't the most amazing and emotionally evoking performance.
After she told us that Biz's house and had that breakdown, that award was done.
Yeah.
Like, we knew who was winning.
Meanwhile, it was two people in a category that I couldn't even remember what shows they were on. this year to be nominated.
The only competition you had was the wife from Ozark.
Yes.
That should have just been a two-woman.
No, it's not Laura Dern. Is it Laura Dern?
I don't remember.
I think it's Laura Dern. Insecure.
Insecure, yeah.
The Shop. Wait, yeah. The Shop is created by black women?
No, I'm just saying black people.
You're talking about black people. Okay, yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
No.
Why are we including Westworld in black people shows?
Because the two main characters are black, and everybody I know watches that show is black.
I feel like that's a stretch for inclusion in this list.
Sandy Newton is amazing in the show, and now she has become the lead along with Jeffrey Wright. Like, this is some of Jeffrey Wright's best work. Yes,
but I feel like that's I just want to say.
Oh, and Tessa Thompson.
I just want to say for the record.
Yes.
I feel like that's a stretch. Because
you don't watch Westworld. All the black people
have watch Westworld, but I feel like that's a stretch. Why do you have Watchmen in parentheses?
Because it's not on anymore. It's done. It was like a one.
Right, because it was limited. And Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, and I was just saying how we were having this test conversation that how me and you always tweet and talk about how all the black programming that people talk about that they want on social media is actually on BET or TV One. People just don't watch it.
Right.
And I listed all those shows where they not all might not be created by black women or may not necessarily black centric.
But they show black
people in major roles. And I was like, the question I threw out was like, is HBO the blackest network out right now? Because if you look at the wins or the critical acclaim these shows have, oh, and I forgot, I May Destroy You.
Like, oh, yeah, and I May Destroy You.
That's another one. Like,
which HBO was, wow.
Has all the really, really black good shows on TV right now. And
that's a good point.
If you're a certain age, you just remember this was home box office.
But HBO, I do remember HBO always offering something a little different than the other shows, but you're right. The whole era of HBO as a programming destination for original programming started around The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And Oz and The Wire and Sex and the City, going on from there. HBO might be
with some black people in it, but now if you look at some of their best shows outside of like Succession and Game of Thrones before, and it's like, oh, all y'all big sexy shows are actually like black shows.
It's just true.
And they're promoting them and like putting black women in the lead in most of those shows we talk about.
So speaking of that, I want to talk about this week's Lovecraft. And you know, we touch on Lovecraft from week to week, but I actually want to talk a little bit about the plot this week. So if you are a watcher of Lovecraft and you have not watched the show, then I would suggest turn this off at this point.
pause us and come back.
Pause us for a minute and come back. So this week's episode, before we get into that, I want to say shout out to HBO and Lovecraft. So somehow, I do not know how they chose me, I guess, because I was tweeting the first week and they were looking at like influencer engagement or whatever.
This is one of those things where you be trying to act like
somehow I got included in a list of there's 100 influencers. Half of like some of them are gaming people. Some of them are tech people. And then there's some of us who are like black writers space or whatever. Right. So it's me, it's April Rain, it's Corey Murray from Essence, it's a few of us. But they sent us this really cryptic, I don't know how they got it, what I got was this really cryptic email to be invited to this thing called Lovecraft Sanctum. And I was like, well, what the fuck is this? I couldn't find any messaging about it.
I don't like the devil to me.
Shut up. I couldn't find any messaging about it, but it was really like, ooh. So I RSVP'd. And then it was like, look out for something coming in the mail. And then I got an Oculus.
The big white VR thing.
It's this one, my black. It's one of the latest ones. I'm trying to remember which one I have. It's whatever the latest model is. So I got an Oculus, which is, yes, the VR headset. Which I think...
$1,000 or something?
No, I think it's like $400 or something. So, but I appreciate them because I would not have bought myself a VR headset at any point ever in my life.
But I've tried them. They're nice, but
they're amazing. Karn, I needed this shit for the entire shutdown. So before I get to the Lovecraft part, I want y'all to know, so I'm still kind of getting used to it. They're doing three VR experiences that are based around different plot lines in the show. Mm-hmm. I missed the first one because I forgot what day it is. And I hadn't even played with the headset yet. And it came in this beautiful, packaging. And they sent us like a pen that has like the Society of Adam thing on it. And they sent us like
Sons of Adam.
Yeah, that thing.
No, pastor. This is the devil.
It's not the devil. It's technology.
You seen that episode?
Anyway, they made the packaging really, really dope, intriguing. And so
send the little vial of the blood so you could drink.
They did not send the little vial of blood. So the first week I missed it. It was something about the Garden of Eden. This week though, on Wednesday or Thursday, it was either Wednesday or Thursday was the second one. So it's very cool because you meet in Oculus there's a VR chat app. You meet in this VR chat world. I'm still getting used to it because I didn't even go on the Oculus for the first time until the night before. And my ass was on there like riding roller coasters and sitting on beaches. And I was doing all the stuff I can't do outside right now. I wasn't playing games or anything like that. So, which by the way, you can actually, I don't get motion sick on roller coasters in real life. And I get nauseous after I do roller coasters on the Oculus. It's fascinating, but
I'm not doing this with you.
For real. It's crazy. Something's
wrong with your mind. You're not moving.
No, Karin, for real.
Your stomach should not be dropped.
Karin, I'm telling you, the way it works, like you really feel like you're tilting and moving and your stomach drops. It doesn't drop as bad as it does for real.
How much time are you spending with the Lord each morning when you wake up? Because
don't question my relationship with God. No, let's not do that. I'm just saying. Anyway, so you go into this, special invite only room in VR chat. You end up in like this space where I can't even explain it. It's just very, very dope. And then you go into kind of like a meetup lobby room with other people. They have us divided. There's 100 of us total. They have us divided into groups of like 10 or something or 15. So you meet up in this room. And there's stuff you can play with and things you can do. You can talk to each other. And then there's a guide for each group that tells us what we're going to do. So this week we did two things. One of them was kind of a simulation of, and actually if you Google, if you check either Lovecraft's Twitter page or check the hashtag Lovecraft Sanctum, there is actually, they didn't on the first one, but they have a YouTube video of somebody who is live casting this last one, so you can actually see the whole experience. So the last thing we did was a simulation of going through the caves, like that those long bridgeways.
The three caves they had the picture.
Not all of them, but we went through one where you had to go like across the drop. And if you fell off, you actually did drop and then you had to start over again. It was kind of cool.
Want to know for the record that this is what it's like when one of your rich friends tells you about stuff that you'll never make money from experience. That's what it's like for myself and the rest of the listeners.
But I'm telling y'all that if you Google, if you check, search Lovecraft Sanctum, the hashtag, or go to HBO's YouTube page, but that may take more because I don't know how often they post content. You can actually watch it yourself from home. Just blow your screen up.
That came in free out the mail.
Yeah, that came in free. Other people have Oculus. It just wasn't
free. This is like someone who drinks Ace of Spades telling you, just go get some Andres and just put it in the glass. It's just like
There's nothing wrong with Andres. So the first thing we did, but see, this is why you're going to want to go see it. It's important. They took us to this to this area that was wide open. And we started on this platform. You could go down or up, but there was this little potion that if you drank it in the thing, you could float. And there was this really big, like, ethereal looking creature, gorgeous, that you could tell was supposed to be a black woman. And they told us we were going to have a performance. And what it was a spoken word performance by your wife.
Journey.
Yeah, well, it was her voice. But it was magical. So we could float around.
It was her essence.
So we could float up to her, float away. And it was intercut with some other spoken word. But it was just a really gorgeous moment just to float around, just to be up near her under whoever it was. It didn't look like her, but the being, if you want to call it that.
So was this Hotep niggas in space?
It was Hotep niggas in space ish. Okay. Which was all what right. This week's episode was Hotep niggas in space. But I only brought it up, A, because it was very, very cool. But B, because when Hippolyta was floating in front of
talking to the black the goddess being,
I was like, oh, that was kind of what we just had. Yeah.
So you was floating.
And it really does feel like, that's the other thing, like when you're floating, when you're rising, the floor is dropped. Obviously, listen, I know so that
you
people.
You were sitting on your couch and you felt like you was floating.
Yes. Yes. This, no,
so,
for
so
real.
So what you telling me, this is kind of like what happened and striking vipers in that episode of Black Mirror.
So, but see, here's the difference. Here's the difference, though. I think there's a pack you can add so that you feel like actual movement, not to the sex part, but moving against your body. But what you can feel is you can't feel like wind or anything like that. But whatever sensation that can be created by the environment around you moving. So, like, there's one whole app that is about conquering your fear of heights. And I don't actually have a fear of heights, but I just wanted to see what it was. So you go into different rooms. So like one world was like, when you enter it, you're on top of a building and you hear wind whipping and the things around you look like they're whipping and shaking. And then you look down and it really does give you the sensation of like distance. I can't explain it because I'm not obviously a coder. It's depth perception. There's also now this game called Beat Saber that everybody told me that I needed to get on, and it's a workout. It's not the devil. So okay, going to this week's episode. This is what episode is about. Hippolyta, who is ingenue. I'm gonna say my Sora's name wrong. She's like an amazing character actress
from the Clark sisters movie.
Ingenue, I think it's Ingenue Ellis, who is like. What I love about her is that she's such an amazing character actress that I almost never know it's her right away when I see her in something. It always takes me to realize that's who she is. But she's done quite a bit. She was going back to, I want to say maybe the first major movie role was Ray. But this week was about her and traveling to like different times, different universes, different spaces, different worlds.
And becoming the character that her daughter dreamed of.
Yeah, to be different versions of herself. If you, so my question is, which all helped her better to self-actualize, for lack of a better word, right? So my question to you, Karin, is if you could pick three eras to go and live in temporarily, which would you pick and why?
I would do the 20s and the Harlem Renaissance.
Okay.
Just to be around the vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hear all of, you know, the stories and the art and the aesthetic that came on the Renaissance.
Right.
But I would like to see the other bullshit that we as a people was dealing with as well, because I don't think we talk about enough about the bullshit of that moment.
Right.
Probably led to like the joyous times, because it was like the depression was right there, fam.
Yeah.
Racism was right there. So I feel like that's where a lot of that came from. The second would probably be, look, take me back to Mansa Musa days. So I can see what the richest nigga in the world was living like. And lastly, it's going to sound like some basic shit, but I really want to do this. Let me be a college student in the years of 92 and 96 in the AUC.
It was amazing.
Because they got Freaknik.
I went to that Freaknik, which was amazing.
They got Spellhouse versus Hampton. Listen, young heads, go back and do the history of the AUC in the early 90s and the wildness that was the West End, because when you had schools sending charter buses from Howard and Hampton down to the West End, and us taking charter buses as a whole funded up to DC for their homecoming and stuff like that, I would just want to experience what that was like. Because this is the height of the HBCU movement. This is when all the rappers and the TV stars on TV wearing HBCU gear. Freaknik is still something that is kind of a secret amongst black.
Also, shout out to the Black College Alliance gear, which Chris Lattimore, who created it, actually has reactivated. I got a sweat. You can buy it. You can buy it right now. And I showed it. Them shits is expensive as hell, which reminded me why I didn't have one when I was a shawty. But I got the whole sweatsuit now.
Yeah, yes. And that is the one time that anytime, and I have met some old head Spellhouse alums who were on the yard back then. And like, I just, if I can get 5-10 minutes, like I just pepper them with questions and just like, tell me what the experience is like. And their face lights up, because I had a conversation with the old school Spellman big sis, and she was like, wow, like I never realized, like I lived through all that, because that was just normal to us. And I was like, nah, like that was the golden era. Like y'all had everything. Like this is why people wanted to come down here.
So and this...
2 years after school days, a couple years after school days.
Yeah, school days was 88. So yeah.
88, yeah.
And then in the midst of...
A different world.
Yeah. So this is not what we're talking about, but I don't know if I ever told you that Spelman was actually my first choice school. And I got waitlisted.
Yeah, still mad at you about that.
I got waitlisted. Be mad at them. But the reason I wanted to go to Spelman had absolutely nothing to do with Spelman. It had to do with Morehouse. I happened to be at Six Flags during...
You was out in Austell? That's in Austell.
So I was at Six Flags during Spellhouse freshman week. And there was a Spellhouse group there. And they were so live that me and my friends were just like, yo, I'm going there. And on my way out, a guy who we had been running into each other back and forth.
Shoot that shot.
Numbers. Yes. It's a really sad story, so I'm not going to tell that.
It's a pen and paper era.
Yeah. We exchanged numbers, and we actually dated off and on for a few years. And I think do I still have his Morehouse sweatshirt? I think I still have his Morehouse sweatshirt.
I can verify it if it's real or not. I'll let you know. Show it to me.
Oh, I know it's real. It's a thick-ass Russell Athletics. I'd never seen a sweatshirt like it since before. I'm surprised he gave it to me. I think I still have it. I used to wear it all the time. But anyway, because he passed. It's a sad story. But I used to wear it all the time. But the point is that was why I wanted to go to Spelman. I was like, these niggas are fine. And that's probably why...
Everybody has a shallow reason.
And that's probably why Jesus did not let me go to Spelman, because I would not have... Or Howard.
My sophomore year.
God knew what he was doing. I would not have been focused. I already wasn't focused at Carolina, because they was... Yo, I'm sorry. I'm distracted. Young men in the 90s were on. Okay, anyway. So my choices. Wow, they were fun. Oh, and also, Freaknik 1994 was one of the best weekends of my whole life. So... And it wasn't as... It wasn't a Luke video yet. People think that Freaknik was always a Luke video. It was PG-13. That's when everybody else came. And when it wasn't any fun anymore, because the police was always shutting everything down. Post-Olympics, it was no fun anymore. Okay, so I think my three would be, I agree with you, Harlem Renaissance, because I also would love to see that up close. I would love to see that moment of... just awakening and possibility when you still didn't really know what there could be, when there was still so much to create.
I just dress like Quick from Harlem Nights every day.
Like, and actually,
I wear tux every day.
Yeah, all my choices are kind of related to that, because my second choice would be, and I definitely got this from watching the show, would be to actually go either to Paris or all the way over to Ghana when a lot of the Black artists and intelligentsia were in Europe or in Africa, because they just didn't want to be here for the bullshit. And also because I think that we might need to get prom to do that shit again. I would, because I enjoy, especially Paris. I love Paris. And to be there, like with like-minded people, to be there with like-minded people, watching movements commence, I think would be dope. And my last one would be
Ray Poupon.
May we,
that's all I got. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Ray Poupon.
Thank you.
My last one would be, I think, to revisit the 90s, which I did live through as a teenager, but to revisit it now as an adult. Because to go back there at a point where I actually have a job and have some money and I can maneuver the way I want to. Excellence. That would be amazing. And I would just have to not run into Little Naima. You know, the paradox. I would just not have
to. The most expensive and high quality boom boxes and not the ones on sale.
I just think it would be a great moment to revisit. And there's been so many things that, like, I'm so glad I was a teenager for them, but I really would have loved to be an adult for them. It was a good era. It was a really good era.
Listen, my argument is that the 90s was the greatest decade for Black people and the Black experience and culture.
I think if it was also the greatest music,
TV, movies.
Yeah.
Like
we went through like four, and not just us, but not just us, but music in general, TV in general, movies in general. We went through like, and fashion. We went through like four different eras in that one decade. Mm-hmm. And since then, even though new things keep happening and evolving and changing, I've never seen any decade have that many. Like, because
swings.
Yeah, because like if I'm talking about 2001 versus 2009, those don't feel very different to me.
No.
But if I'm talking about 91 versus 99, that's a chasm.
Like,
you know,
just even how like playful rap was from Kid and Play to Hammer to N.W.A.
Mm.
It was in a matter of years, and how quickly and yeah. Like, I love what
it
people
cycled
try to make,
every 4 years.
Yeah, how people try to make jokes about Hammer, and I'm like, man, like, look, your favorite rapper today wouldn't be. Could do anything they want to do if Hammer didn't happen. I'm
yeah,
like,
we'd
that
be disrespecting
dude had a
Hammer.
Cartoon. Like, he had a
actually,
cartoon.
And so they Kid and Play. Kid and Play and Hammer get disrespected heavily because they were about.
Oh, wow. Kid and Play gave some of the greatest movies in cinematic history. Why
House Party
y'all
is really one of the greatest movies. You know what? That might. Our next movie night is House Party.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Our next movie show is going to be a House Party movie show. And even though we're not going to talk about House Party 2, we're going to dress
it.
For our Pajama Jammy Jam, but we're going to talk about House Party 1.
I love House Party 2 because people try to knock it, but I'm like, I don't remember the term or people really having Pajama Jams like that until 2 came out.
Yeah, we had one. That was my senior year of high school, and I had a little sorority at my high school. We had a Pajama Jammy Jam. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, but 2 took them to a new level. And three got some low key jokes. If you were 3-4,
I've never watched 3. Oh, I never watched 2 again, but one time. But we gonna wear Pajama Jam. I invoke 2, but 1 is a classic. Okay, so
also clearly, you know why I love 2.
Why do you love 2?
2 has something in it that if you have to be a fan of 2 to realize it, they play Shantae Moore and Keith Washington candlelight in you like 15 times in that movie for no reason. Every time Sydney and Kid are talking,
they play
just
it.
Play that song in the background, and it's just like, why are they all trying to set the mood? Like,
they're trying to make sure you understand that there's some things happening.
I'm gonna pull out the satin roll. I'm ready.
Also got to do maybe a Tisha Campbell appreciation day at some point. She deserves. Longest working.
Shout out to Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, I was about to say to her. Her and Tashina Arnold, longest working, hardest working Black women in show business. No bullshit. All right.
See that extra for a reason.
Oh yeah, theater kid all day. Okay, so Karin, before we go, one more thing I'm gonna throw to you. So I haven't really said that here, but I've basically just not even been paying attention to the fact that any professional sports are going on at all right now. I just have just ignored the fact that seasons are happening. So do you have anything that you want to say about NBA finals, about the NFL season thus far? I'm gonna leave it to you to bring any sports commentary into the because I realize that me saying that is semi-blasphemous on Count the Dings platform, but I cannot get into the idea of a sports season of any kind.
I mean, it's not what you're saying isn't necessarily weird, because it's just weird right now. Like, the NHL had their Stanley Cup final the other night. I forgot hockey was happening myself as a sports writer.
As did I.
Baseball, who is not a sports playoffs writer, are going on. Football is about to be a mess because potential games this week might not be played because of COVID tests. The NBA finals are starting on Wednesday. The WNBA playoffs are going. Basketball has pretty much been the only thing that's worked because they're in an actual bubble. College football even still feels weird on Saturdays just because all of the conferences aren't playing yet, or some are playing, and if they are playing, there aren't any really good games. And they're shortened seasons, so teams don't have their warm-up. They're just in the middle of a big conference game, and they ain't had time to figure this out. So you're not wrong to feel like this is weird, because even someone who does this for a living, I catch myself watching stuff sometimes like, what is going on? Just because, like, the feeling of the emotion is off. The sports calendar is out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
There is no vaccine. People are still dying. And people are playing in different spots. There are no fans. There's no tailgating. Everything that comes with sports isn't available to us right now.
Right.
It's just like, you can't just show up at the homie's house. We're about to order these wings and drink and watch games. It's like, that's not happening.
Right.
So for the casual fan like yourself who might drop in on a player or a team here and there, like, don't feel bad, because it's weird. And hopefully, you know, 2021, everything will be back, but who knows?
Man, who knows? That's scary part. Who knows? Like, it's so weird to just not even be able to look at next year and say that anything might be anything.
The Olympics didn't happen this year, and I forgot. And they're supposed to be next year, but nobody knows if they're actually going to happen.
I think just
wait to 2024.
I do.
At this point, let's just wait to
2024. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird, man. Like, it's so weird to just not even be able to be like, yeah, well, next year we'll be able to do it. Next year we'll be able to travel. Next year this will be back. Next year that'll be back. Like, yeah.
My cousin sent me a text last night, right? And our birthdays are a week and a half apart.
Mm-hmm.
And she's turning 50 in 2 years. And she sent a text to the group, to the family. She sent me a one-off because she know I don't respond to the family. And she's like, yo, get your stuff together. I'm like, you know, now I'm trying to do my 50th in Hawaii in 2022. And I was like, I can't schedule that far. She was like, start saving. I was like, this isn't about the money.
Right.
Have you not realized what the year we just had? I live my life in like 2 week now. Windows from
Correct.
Here on out. Like, I can't look.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Seriously. It's all you can do at this point.
I'm like, my birthday's in December. Haven't even thought about it, because I'm just trying to get to.
Listen, I just got a text, and in terms of like events and what's coming back and what's not, I'm gonna leave it here and we'll revisit it later. But this makes me very sad, which I know it'll make you sad in theory, but not quite the same. I just got a text that Essence furloughed almost everybody.
Magazine or the Fest?
Well, Essence Communications owns the Fest. So but you know, with that revenue loss this year, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's why NBC Sports had a whole bunch of layoffs a couple months ago, because that Olympic money didn't come through. It's why college basketball will be the one sport we will have the entire season of. because while schools and universities make their money off college football, the NCAA itself, as an entity, makes 98% of their yearly revenue off the March Madness tournament. They did not have that tournament last year. They are not going to go 2 years losing 98% of their annual revenue. We are definitely getting college basketball.
Right.
It's happening. They need that tournament.
They need the money, yeah. Which also, to me, speaks to the fact that y'all need to pay these fucking players. But that's another conversation for another
day. We have an entire system. We have an entire educational and amateur sports system built off the backs of unpaid 17-year-olds.
And then mad when they opt to leave early to go to college. Okay, you know what? We got to table that conversation because we're running long. We're going to come back to that. I think that's worth coming back to, though, is like how these college programs are forcing sports to move forward. I was flipping through my TV one day and Lou Holtz was arguing about
why.
Lou was the coach when I was at Carolina and that nigga was already 87. So I'm like, how? And that was 20 some years ago. So I'm like, why is anybody putting Lou Holtz on? Lou Holtz needs to go to bed. Lou Holtz needs to go take a nap.
But next week, you know.
Paul Lou Holtz, somebody's Paul now. Like, talking about something about storming beaches in Normandy. I was like, who is letting Lou Holtz on the TV? Anyway. But all that to me speaks to if your fiscal year is that dependent on your sports program and the performance of these kids who you claim that education is enough, you need to re-examine that shit for them kids. Okay, that is it. Thank y'all for being with us.
House party next week.
You could have been listening to and or watching Anybody in the World. You are with us. We do not take it for granted. Karin has a nice shoulder role for you. Yes, get your voting plan together.
Get your booty to the polls.
Get
your giving that white man your money.
Ask your friends what their voting plan is. Don't just do yours. Ask your friends what their voting plan is.
I sent out a text today to friends telling them and send them a screenshot of early polling places they can go to here in the Chicago metropolitan area.
So I appreciate your service, sir.
Did my part. Get your booty to the polls. Stop giving that white man your money.
Stop giving that white man your money. Keep some liquor on deck. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal, simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal, only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.